All right, let's get this started in 3, 2, 1. You're weird. And good evening and welcome to the Massive Report. My name is Matt Goschert. I'm joined by a lot of different people tonight. Morgan Hughes is here. What's up, Mr. Morgan Hughes?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me back on your stupid show.
Alex Static is here. Hi, Alex.
How's it going?
Greg Benson is here.
How you doing, Matt?
And live from where Alex's phone was made, Chris Edwards via Skype. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks, guys.
Either Skype just seized or you just said something in Australian that no one understood.
I didn't understand it. It wasn't Australian.
Uh-huh. Maybe it could have been Western Australian.
Yeah.
You never know.
Could have been Western Sydney.
It is the Massive Report brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. Thank you very much to our sponsor there. And we're going to go ahead and get started. A lot of stuff to talk about. And I'm going to flip the script a little bit.
Here we go.
It's weird. So anybody who did show prep.
That's good because I haven't seen one.
Okay, fair enough. Well, anybody who did show prep is going to be sorely upset about this, but we're going to talk about this first.
So we're all fine because
two leaks. We're going to talk about that sexy leak of Morgan.
Ooh.
Yeah, with his shirt off.
I was told that the pills would cure that leak, so
we'll see what happens.
Give it a week.
So two potential jerseys leaked this week. For the crew, we're going to start by talking about the primary jersey and not the alternate jersey, which for those of you, Todd, who don't know, we don't really have a home or away jersey. Todd, there was something on the internet about that earlier. But first of all, I want to get everybody's impressions on the yellow one. We'll start with you, Greg. Your thoughts?
I'm not overwhelmed by it, but I think I said this on Twitter. I said I think if they tried to wow us with it, they probably would have messed it all up, and it would have looked terrible. They stuck to the script. It's an Adidas thing. It's a template. It's all right. I don't mind it. It doesn't blow me away, but it's nice.
Chris Edwards.
Meh.
Do they have jersey leaks in China?
No, they've already done their jersey leaks. The kit that's been looking good is the Guangzhou Evergrande kit. Well, I should say Guangzhou Evergrande Taobao, as they're called now.
Awesome.
Which is one of the richest clubs in all of Asia, worth an estimated $400 million.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Wow. That's half-owned
by Jack Ma, who owns Alibaba.
Like the website?
The one that launched on the stock exchange in New York and had that enormous IPO a few months ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I have somebody take care of all my stocks. So I have five.
So you're more worried about your beer stock.
Yeah, that's the 4 shares of Wells Fargo that my grandpa bought me. Somebody takes care of those for me. So, but no, getting into, you saw the crew jersey leaks, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was like, like Greg said, it's a template. There's nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, it's hard to mess up yellow and black. Yeah, look, I won't be buying that one because I've already got a yellow jersey. I'm looking forward to the next part of the discussion where I might need to go and have a cold shower.
we'll get you there as quickly as possible. Alex.
Thank you.
I will be buying the yellow.
Oh.
And the reason I will be buying the yellow is because I think it's perfect. I think the best thing about it is how clean it looks. It's got the checker pattern, but it's completely kind of invisible on first sight.
Sublimated.
The first thing that you notice about the shirt, you notice Barbasol, of course, but the first thing you notice is the crest.
Mm-hmm.
It draws your eye to the crest because there's no other thing going on the shirt. It's just plain yellow. It's beautiful. It's got our new beautiful, beautiful crest. I love it. I'm going to get Iguain 10 on the back. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Morgan Hughes.
It's hard, like everyone said, it's hard to screw up a primary crew uniform because it's just the greatest. And they didn't screw it up because they can't. And I'm also thinking about getting Iguain 10 on the back.
Really?
Back to you, Matt.
Not Sorcerer in 10?
That's not. I'm not Sorcerer Peepa, by the way.
I know you're not Sorcerer
God's
Peepa.
God's sake. Every day I'm of well my aware. Life. No, not everybody knows.
Alex is getting Higuain on the back of his jersey. He's not Federico Higuain. We're not implying that getting Sorcerer on the back means that
I know
you
what you're implying,
Sorcerer.
I know you're a fan.
Go back to New Zealand with your other prisoner family members.
Wow.
Wow. See, I liked it. My thoughts on it. My biggest thing that I appreciated about it was that it didn't have something stupid and cheesy on the inside of the collar, or grammatical errors.
Come on, Columbus.
Or some sort of missing comma or something like that. But what's on the inside of the Portland one?
Let it rain, let it pour, let the Portland Timbers score.
I thought it was put a bird on it.
Put a ring on it?
Put a ring on it, yes.
Put a bird on it.
FC yes. Beyonce.
Doesn't it rain like a lot more in Seattle than it does in Portland?
Yes.
So did somebody get their... Didn't they get like a meteorologist in to like fact check this stuff or something? Or did they just kind of run with it? Adidas.
Yeah, of course not.
Well, it's because they printed the jerseys in China. And Chris was supposed to spell check them and didn't do it.
Columbus.
I deliberately didn't spell check it.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair.
It rains more in Columbus than it does in Portland, so I think let the Columbus Crew score. Or Columbus Crew SC, I suppose.
Yeah, it rains goals.
Columbus Crew SC or.
All right, we're going to go in and talk about
this. That was a soccer joke, Matt.
Let's talk about the alternate shirt. Not a third jersey, but this is the second part of this. I'm gonna let Chris go first because it just seems like he's going to have the best reaction. So go ahead,
I think Chris did go first.
Yeah.
It's... Hi,
whoa.
Yeah, I know. I'm just reaching for the tissues now.
Whoa.
There's a lot to like about, you know, there's a huge amount to love about that kit. I mean, firstly, it's, you know, it's the black that we know because we're yellow and black. Secondly, it's the checkerboard, and it's clean. It's clean in its own way. Barbasol in white, which is in their trademarks, and it all just works together, and that's what I absolutely love to bits about it. The whole kit works cleanly. Sorry, the Barbasol in yellow, which would have been a tough one to get through to get approved through Barbasol HQ, but it's just a clean kit. It's all beautiful and lovely, and I really didn't want to have a cold shower this morning, but I'm going to have a second one.
Greg.
I'm a huge fan of it. I was a little bit late to the party on seeing it yesterday when it was posted, but oh my goodness. Yeah, it really I'm disappointed, and I was thinking about this during the pre-show prep that I actually did, go figure. Thinking about how, yeah, we don't have necessarily designated home and away kits, but that said, I don't like teams not wearing their primary kit at home, simply because, I mean, it's your primary colors. If Liverpool were to wear something other than red at home, it would look strange.
Yeah.
I would love to see this more often than I think we're going to. I'm looking forward to seeing it on opening day in Houston, because chances are we will see it, being that Houston's orange, and it's probably more of a clash.
We usually wear our reverse kit or our clash kit when we play away at Houston.
Yeah.
So that's
and having seen the Dynamo leak their home jersey for this season as well, that's probably going to be the sexiest uniform matchup of the season, like first game right there, right off the bat. Houston home and Columbus away. I'm looking forward to it.
Alex.
I think it's all right. I don't like it as much as the home kit. I do like it, though. I'm planning on getting one as well as the home shirt. But I prefer the home shirt. I don't
know.
Do you? Yeah, it reminds me of like a taxi cab, the away shirt, for some reason. And I'm not sure I'm digging that as much as the home. But they're both really, really well done. I think both of them will be incredibly popular, judging from the social media reaction outside Columbus. Yeah. And this design team that's doing all the rebrand stuff and doing the shirts and doing the ads and everything, they're hitting home run after home run, and good for them.
Morgan.
I mean, we've all been asking for it, demanding it via social media since the pinstriped black alternate jerseys went away that Greg is wearing right now. Those of us they're watching us record this. One guy walking his dog.
I think that might have been a woman, actually.
It was a woman.
Aw, well, yeah. It's winter. Wearing a lot of layers. Nah, she's terrible.
whoa.
So it's nice to when you bitch and complain and moan on the internet for years, it's nice to have something actually happen because of that. And you can tell whomever is designing this stuff is actually listening to our stupid asses in whatever forum that they monitor us in.
Yeah.
You know, and
security cameras in the home, drones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
I was a big fan of the away design. I actually like the checkerboard on it. I like the checkerboard on the collar, on the inside of the collar.
Yes.
I think that's much better than just something stupid.
I'm waiting for something bad to happen, because since Tony Ace has bought the team, like, everything has been great.
It's been aces.
Everywhere that they could excel, they have, not including the television agreement.
But that was before.
Right.
That was before pre-court. Yeah. That was before pre-court bought the team. The only thing that I've heard anybody really legitimately gripe about is parking going up.
And that's the fairgrounds.
That's not the crew.
But what I'm saying is, are we losing a big part of who we are as a fan base? Because if we can't complain on the internet about things, we're going to start turning.
We're
on
running
each other.
Out of stuff to bitch about. That's what it is.
No. You've all missed the point. Turning on each other is the next step.
Ah.
Oh.
That's what you do.
Alex, I'm going to chew your arm off.
Screw you, Morgan.
And then we all turn around and turn back
nice.
On the club.
Yes.
Morgan, you're not a real fan.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a good one.
What did you get on your fan score rating? Armless, chewed off for a guy?
I think I had an 87.
I got 67, and I hadn't even been to a game. I was in another freaking country.
I forgot you got one of those, Chris. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I got 67. Chris, I was rather impressed.
I'm beginning to think that these scores don't mean anything.
I was happy with my score.
Well, Chris had season tickets, too. He just bought more than you.
It's because you guys didn't go to FanFest. That's what killed all you guys. I was there.
It wasn't hard for me to go to FanFest.
See, no, okay, now I realize what happens is when you have nothing to complain about, you just talk about the terrible things from the past, and you rehash them.
Over and over.
You guys remember
again.
Guillermo? Remember what happened with that? Man, that was terrible. Screw the crew,
great.
Man.
All right,
how do you sit the greatest great. Soccer player in the history of the world for the first leg of a playoff series?
Yeah.
And, Greg, I'm going to go to you.
Chris apparently has a question for you, Greg.
Okay.
Greg, remember, I'm a Perth Glory fan. What do you think I've been doing for 10 years?
I was going to say, yeah, that's... yeah, you've had a... You actually have had a genuinely good reason to do a lot of complaining.
Chris,
now that I hear about it.
Chris is a lifelong Wellington Phoenix fan. I'd like to invite you to rise up, though.
And I would like to remind you both that Sydney is sky blue and the West Coast, too.
All right. So anyway. I want to stop talking about this and start talking about this other thing.
You played well the other day.
Thank you very much. I thought I played a good game, but no.
We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because we didn't have a show last week. But Will Trapp, Columbus guy, played for the national team. And I kind of want to get everybody's reactions on that before we go to the first break here. I'm going to start with you, Alex, because you're intently staring at me, and I think you have a lot to say.
Actually, I have very little to say. I thought he played okay. He looked a little bit overwhelmed, but that's not surprising, given the fact that it was his first cap for the U.S. national team.
Yeah.
And Klinsmann had very good things to say about him after the game. Klinsmann said he was a sponge and that he kind of just every day was learning more and more, and that they were really, really happy with how he was progressing. If he's fit for it, I think he'll definitely absolutely make the Olympic squad.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are many more caps in his future, and best of luck to him.
All right. Morgan, did you get a chance to watch the game?
Yes, I did, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Tell me what you think.
I thought the symbolic wonderfulness of Will Trapp replacing Mixed Disc Rude was it was almost too perfect. What do you say about a guy's first chance? It was a friendly, it was a second half substitution. I liked him and Zardes actually getting their first taste of the national team. These are two guys that are going to figure into the long term plans. And I mean, for the next 50 years, these guys are just freaks. Freaks, Greg. They're negative 10 right now, so they'll probably play for a long time. But no, it was fine. You know, I hope he wins the championship basketball thing.
I thought Trapp did well, obviously, at his first start. You're not gonna go out there. I mean, you could, but it's much more of an adjustment period than it is, and it's a friendly. And you know, the same thing that everybody says about all that stuff. I was a little disappointed we didn't see him play at all against Panama, because I thought that it would be another good opportunity. They were giving a lot of guys runouts in that game, mm-hmm. and I think it would have been a good opportunity to just get him a little bit more.
It kind of sucked that Josie pulled his hamstring or whatever happened, that he had to be taken off, right? Isn't that what happened? He came off at halftime for somebody, right?
So he TFC'd it.
Wanda went in for Wanda, Altidore.
Jesus Christ, how could I forget that?
Yeah, Wanda
terrible
went in for Altidore at halftime, and then we also had Yedlin got subbed off, Mix got subbed off again.
Yeah.
So
that kind of changes up plans and everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, when Wando's in there, just kill yourself, really, as a coach. You know, that literally your life is just about over. But you're the one who put him on the team, so what's up? What's up now?
I was a little bit disappointed that Trapp didn't get to go out against Panama, but... You know, unfortunately, Perry Kitchen's on the roster as well, and the two of them play a very, very similar role.
Yeah.
Sort of defensive midfielders. Trapp getting back to his match against Chile, which we got to watch at Land Grant Brewing.
We did.
Are good sponsors. Thank you, guys.
Everyone clapped when he came on.
Yeah, the ovation there was really, really good. I was really impressed. The whole city seemed to be, or at least the part of the city that we were in at the time, where there was a TV on a soccer game.
So Eastern Franklinton really Eastern supported Will Trapp.
Eastern Franklinton was really behind our own Gahanna boy. Anyway, for the situation that he was brought into, having to make his first cap for the U.S. away against a top 20 team in the world, I thought he did just fine. You know, you don't really expect too many players to get into a situation like that and set the world on fire, particularly with the form that the U.S. had been in leading up to that game. You know, we all talked about, geez, this is going to be another friendly that the U.S. is going to crap the bed. And, you know, it turned out they didn't get the result they wanted. But I think for the situation that Trapp found himself in, he did just fine. The kid's all right.
They show any U.S. men's national team over there in China, Chris?
No, I didn't catch the game. I just thought it was hilarious that Will Trapp came on for Mixed Disc Rude, who's gone to Man City 3 up there in Yankee Land.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I wasn't really interested in that particular international fixture on the weekend. That weekend, I was interested in a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also, you're not American, so we don't expect you to be interested.
And that game was on a Wednesday.
That's right.
And I know what game Chris is talking about as well.
Yeah, I always find it fascinating that, like, you know, people abroad that are Crew fans that we come to know through whatever channel or avenue we come to know them, we just kind of, like, assume that, oh, they're U.S. national team fans, too. It's like, nah, dude, I'm actually from Japan, so I don't give a crap about your stupid team.
well, speaking as an immigrant or, you know, foreign national in the U.S. who is a fan of the U.S. national team,
we call you spies.
Pretty much,
it's the actual
pretty
term.
Much. Yeah. But I can't actually tell you that. I'm not at liberty to say. As a fan of both the U.S. and another country, it's weird to kind of sort of juggle the two. I dare not use the word mix anymore on this podcast, but
blend.
Blend. There you go.
Blend Discord.
Combine.
Blend. That's actually, into. Just refer to him as Blend Discord for now.
Blend Discord.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Morgan knocks a microphone over.
No, that was close.
No, it's right to assume, I guess, that somebody who's a fan of a you know, a club team in the U.S. is going to be a fan of the national team as well. But
hashtag blend 1-4.
blend 1-4. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's clever. It's catchy.
Well, speaking of that.
Sounds like a cleaning product.
It really does. It really does.
Or a shampoo. You've seen his hair.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to go to break here in a little bit. We're going to come back and we're going to talk CBA. That's coming up in a little bit. This is the Massive Report. Segment 2 of the Massive Report. Welcome back. My name is Matt Gosher. We are live at NDOX. Come out here and join us on Monday nights. Chris Landis came out and joined us tonight. What's up, Chris? Hi, Chris. How are you? Come over here. Come over here, because I want to talk to you for just a half a second here. You can get on Morgan's mic, because I don't want to be that close to you. So first of all, welcome to the staff.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You do have to. You can't just nod. You have to actually reply to me.
Nobody told me I was going to be on air tonight.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's kind of how we do. That's kind of how we do
you
these.
You did
things.
Know it was going to happen eventually, though.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I suppose I did. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you're doing a new segment. I want you to kind of tell everybody about your new series of articles that you're writing for Massive Report, if they haven't had a chance to check them out yet.
Well, basically, Patrick Goldan put out a tweet. Asking, you know, just for people who wanted to contribute, and, you know, I love Massive Report, it's a great website, and I've said, sure, I'd like to contribute, and he's like, well, what do you got? You know, he's like, pitch me an idea. And I kind of thought about it, and I was like, most of the articles are kind of aimed at the supporters, the hardcore fans, the people who know what's going on inside out, you know, people who listen to this podcast, everyone's, you know, they're well informed. I was like, well, I would like to do kind of a series of articles, you know, talking to people who aren't so well-informed, people who are just casual crew fans, and try to figure out what the disconnect is, why they're not, you know, out every week, why they're not, you know, keeping up on, oh, you know, they don't know who Kai Kamara is, even though that's a pretty big signing for us, you know, so I kind of wanted to just talk to people and kind of get where the disconnect was,
yeah.
And I talked to my manager for the first article, and, you know, he's a Columbus sports fan. He loves the Buckeyes, likes the Blue Jackets. He wants to be involved with the crew. There's just no real, you know, spark of interest there, and I wrote it, and people apparently liked it. So.
Yeah, very cool. It was a well-written article. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, it's on Massive Report. And when's the next one coming out?
I don't know. I'm hoping to talk to this gentleman, Morgan, tonight, because everyone said I should talk to him as kind of a counterpoint to the first article. I've got a couple different people I'm trying to talk to, and they're all just dragging a little bit. So sooner or later, there will be a second one.
Well, if you have to spend any time with Morgan, good luck and Godspeed, sir.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming out. So back to what we were going to talk about in this segment. And Chris actually stayed on. So welcome back, Chris.
That's the other
Thank
Chris,
you.
By the way.
Yeah, Chris. Sorry. Yeah, the other Chris.
Chris with a C.
Chris on the other... Chris on the other side of the planet stayed on. Chinese Chris, yes. Yeah. So that we could talk a little bit more. I didn't realize it was Chinese New Year, and so Chris doesn't have to work today. Today. Because it's Tuesday there, right?
Yeah, it is Tuesday.
I did it right for once. Awesome.
Well done.
Yeah. Good on me. So I wanted to talk a little collective bargaining agreement. Obviously, not a whole lot has come out about this, and I don't honestly think that we're going to get a whole lot of information. More than just kind of the little bits and pieces. The biggest thing, and I thought you kind of had a unique point about this, so Chris, we'll kind of talk to you about it for a second, and then we'll talk to the rest of the table about it as well. But free agency being one of the biggest points to this labor dispute. There was obviously not a work stoppage, but there were certainly negotiations that almost led to a work stoppage back in 2010, the last time that this happened. according to the players' reps that have come out and talked about this, there were just too many other issues with the league at that point to even really put free agency on the table. Now, Australia, the A-League, doesn't have free agency. And you were talking about that just a little bit, but give me kind of your thoughts on this whole thing and how do they do it there?
Okay. Australia doesn't have free agency in the way that we imagine it, like they have in other sports. However, there's not a lot to stop players from moving to other clubs. The thing that's happened is that clubs are forbidden from trading with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what usually happens is that if a player wants to move to another club and he's currently own a club, to use slave terms, what doesn't need him anymore, they will release or they will mutually terminate the contract. And usually within a few hours, a new contract is signed and they're on a plane across the country to their new club and everybody's happy, except a few fans and people on the internet. But, hey, it's the internet.
Yeah. Nobody on the internet is ever happy.
Exactly.
Unless they're looking at cat videos.
Yeah, that's true. Now, at this point, the A-League's been here for 10 years. It hasn't become a big issue for us yet. Having said that, we're only a 10-team league. There's not a huge amount of money being, flung around. So it's at this point, it's not an issue. The loan system still works. We've got short-term contracts that can happen as well. So, it could work for the next few years. I sense that we may move towards a more free agency in the future, but we're just waiting and seeing. From the other side of the coin, obviously I'm here in China and there's complete free agency.
Which is weird.
And I find it ironic that the capitalism of free agents. Exactly. I find it highly ironic that the Chinese Super League has better free agency than the MLS.
Yeah. That is a really interesting point. I want to go, Alex, I know you've talked about this quite a bit. Kind of your thoughts on, obviously the players want free agency. From an owner's perspective, that's something that's a big sticking point for them, and it's about control, and it's about the exact same thing that you've got with a lot of these weird kind of blind draws and a lot of the other stuff that goes on in the league. Your thoughts?
I think it's an interesting debate. Just right off the bat, I am in favor of free agency, but I think that there are a lot of hurdles that need to be overcome before you can have that. Chief among those is how free agency would even work in MLS, which doesn't get talked about as much as I think it should, because the way MLS is structured, the contracts are all owned by Major League Soccer. They're not owned by one particular team. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of one company bidding against itself for the rights to a player is sort of bizarre. So you would almost need to end single entity entirely in order to get free agency. So if that's really what players want, then it's a much bigger hurdle than if they were asking for some structured form of free agency or free agency light, if you will, where after, say, 7 years in the league, you could then pick your next team if you decided to re-sign with MLS.
But it has to be free agency light at this point, doesn't it?
At this point, it depends. I think that if they really wanted to push it and the league gave a little bit, I think that they could restructure the league over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that's going to happen? No.
No.
But there is, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a way if they decided to play the season under the old CBA with the idea of trying to work towards breaking the single entity structure, that could happen. Is that going to happen? I think it's like a 1% chance. I think 95% chance they're going to do some sort of structured free agency where after, I'm guessing, like 8 years in the league, you can pick your team within the MLS structure.
It's weird because you don't have a situation like Major League Baseball per se or the NFL or things along those lines, where the commissioner is essentially the caretaker of the league for the owners. You have it almost here where because the league is also the owners and the owners are also the league, you have a weird system in this where the league has a much – not that the NFL doesn't or that Major League Baseball or any of those other places don't have a vested interest in, let's say, top talent not going to Green Bay and going to New York or San Francisco or something along those lines. But at the same time, here, it's so much more obvious that that's going on.
You cannot have free agency in a single entity structure.
Yeah.
You
can't have true free agents.
They're mutually exclusive.
No, you can't.
You can have some sort of thing you call it that isn't really free agency.
Well, you would be using the term incorrectly.
You would.
It would still literally not be free agency. The closest thing we have to free agency in MLS, and the closest we'll ever have to free agency in a closed system like this, is their stupid reentry draft, which is not even close to being free agency. You're just being cut by a team and then having the other teams in some weirdly determined order by the league saying, do I want you? No. Do they want you? No. That's not free agency at all. Listen, this is a closed business here. This is one business. We're talking about intramurals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This you're talking about the legal department versus the sales department in a game of soccer on Saturdays.
Yeah.
If true free agency were to be realistically opened up to a closed system, you would just be inviting antitrust lawsuits into the equation, because collusion is literally the business operation. It is how these guys run their teams,
But you can say that, but then you've got all this legal precedent to cite, the NFL getting around the antitrust lawsuits.
But there's a difference, and I think this is the 1% I was talking about earlier. If the MLS players really wanted to push it, and I don't think they're going to push it this far because it would potentially destroy the league. But if they wanted to push it, they could not agree to a new CBA. And they could bring a lawsuit under Title I, which is basically the idea that you're not allowed to collude with other businesses. You're not allowed to – owners of things cannot work together and, behind the scenes –
to drive prices up or to drive prices down.
And it would be thrown out because it's one business. You're right, Alex. It's true,
but then you also have Canadian labor law that you have to deal with in this as well.
But the players do have more power right now than they've ever had before, and specifically because of the amount of money – that's been invested in the marketing that's been happening for NYCFC and Orlando City. And this is a huge year coming up for MLS. The problem with that power is that the league minimum last year was $36,500 a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we talk about strikes and when we talk about unions striking, and we, because we're talking about a sports league, we say, well, let's compare it to baseball, let's compare it to football. It's not even in the same conversation. It cannot be. Players that strike making $36,500 a year are going to need a lot of warning so they can save up money to eat food.
Yeah, I think a lot more power rests with the players than I think even they realize right now. You go back 20 years to a guy named Jean-Marc Bosman, who spearheaded what has become, we talk about in European soccer and soccer basically everywhere outside of North America, free transfers. He was the first guy to say, look, I'm out of contract with this current club. Why should I, why should they have to be consulted if a new club, if I want to sign with a new one?
Yeah. But Greg, the argument is, if you don't like it, go play in another country.
Right.
Which is like saying, if you don't like America, you can get out.
And it was such an American thing to say. I know. The players right now have enough leverage in the same way the Bosman ruling came in 20 years ago that kind of blew up a system that had been in place for so long that it had just become, we'd become blasé to it all. And I think in many ways that's what we are with MLS right now. It's a system that it exists. It's existed the way that it is for so long. But right now there's a group of guys that have the power to potentially make a lot of changes.
Okay, power can only be judged by your capacity to use it. There is
sure.
Literally, you cannot. You could have the most deadly weapon in the world, and if your fingers aren't strong enough to pull the trigger,
sure.
then you are weak. You are powerless. The players don't have power because some of them make $30,000 a year,
right.
and
but
they
those
won't 30, be able to eat food.
Those $30,000 a year player, that's exactly the point that I was getting to. In an overall union vote, their vote counts the exact same as Robbie Keane's.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot more of
not
them.
If they're too weak from not eating food to vote.
That's fair, but that's I think is something because you look at it in 2010 until all the concessions were made, there was an article that I was reading during the break here, and it was with Jeff Cameron, and he was talking about this is back in 2010. The players were it was 285-2 in favor of striking, and the two were like Generation Adidas guys that had basically just pissed away all their money in the off season, and we're gonna have to go work at a car wash. But you know, you look at that, and you've got all these guys that are still making, you know, laughable salaries for pro major league athletes. They're good salaries for a lot of people. You know, most people you're making $30,000-$40,000 a year.
Totally different thing. You can't compare it.
You can't. I understand, but I'm also not saying I'm not trying to say to one of our listeners who makes $20,000 a year that $40,000 a year is a lot of money.
Well, is one of those listeners Ben Sweat? Because if it's not, then you know they have no reason to become offended.
Well, he's gone anyway, so
that's my point.
But do you
get where I'm coming from there?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
There is a tipping point that's going to happen where the pain threshold of the strike is going to be way more than the potential gain threshold. And a lot of these guys who are the younger guys in the league or the guys that are just role players that aren't making a whole lot of money are all of a sudden going to start looking at their checkbooks and being like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about free agency anymore. And I don't care about you, Mr. 10-year veteran who's making, you know, six figures. We're gonna start kicking a ball around
again.
They
gotta look out for themselves.
And I think the owners know that.
I disagree with Morgan on this. I actually think, number one, I think that the MLS Players Union was likely smart enough to build up some sort of a war chest at some point to make sure that if they do go into strike that there is a fund for this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've hinted at it before, but they haven't said for sure whether or not they have it, and obviously they're not going to.
So this is all theoretical and you're still wrong.
Well, there was an article in Sports Illustrated. There was an article in Sports Illustrated by Michael McCann that talks about this, and they were talking about this idea that if you had a – and it was not Title I, it was Section 1 of the Sherman Antitrust Act, that if you challenged it in court, that likely they would run into big problems. MLS was formed as a single entity,
mm-hmm.
and U.S. Federal Appeals Courts have not really agreed with that. They have said that it doesn't really meet the qualifications of a true single entity, and the chief legal analyst guy for Sports Illustrated, who's a sports lawyer, thinks that they would probably have a real case to make. But even if it's not like a rock-solid thing, it's still enough to scare the crap out of the MLS owners and to force them to the bargaining table. And I think that's why MLS is actually kind of scared by what the players are bringing forward. I don't think it's going to go all the way. They may go on strike for like a week, but I think they're going to come to some sort of an agreement. But there is that off chance that they could push this button and, you know, really change MLS or at least attempt to.
You're right. And I think if they open that up, which is certainly possible, I didn't mean to make it sound like I didn't think it was possible. But if you press that button and it becomes any semblance of free agency, man, you are opening a potential Pandora's box of antitrust lawsuits. Because, again, like I said, in a single entity, collusion is your primary business, you know, operating thing here. You don't, you know, if you're in a business, you don't, if you're the sales department, you don't just spend a whole crap load of money without talking to the finance department. You know, this collusion is literally how they run their businesses.
I guess I don't understand how it would be any more collusion in a free agency setting than if it's collusion where they're not free at all and they're just,
yeah,
you know,
no, maybe it's not.
And they have to trade with another company to get the rights to the player.
Maybe it's not, but then, you know, if you're saying that there's any freedom to make your own decision, and then you have, you know, these, it just becomes way more visible and way more obvious.
If I don't have the right to negotiate for your service because you're employed with someone else that also is controlling your salary, I think that's the point that Morgan's trying to make.
No, I'm saying if you say I'm not going to sign a new contract because I want to go somewhere else in the United States and play soccer in Major League Soccer, and you know you're playing for the Crew and your contract runs out, and then Tony Aces goes to the table with all the other old white guys and he goes, hey, everybody, hey, remember last week and you were all wasted? What do you say you don't sign this guy or else I'll tweet about it? Huh? Of course, this is an absurd, you know, scenario, but, I mean, take out the drinking, it's, get out. It's going to be a lot more boring, Greg, of course, but, it is.
Tony Ace isn't that old.
But well, I guess my argument is that.
You know Robert Kraft old?
I mean, he's like, he's in his 40s, that's super old.
I guess my argument would be that happens all the time already, and, I mean, I remember when we were at the draft. We literally watched Brian Bliss go over to a table of a different owner in the same company. And,
yeah, you're absolutely
and
right.
Negotiate the rights for Dilly Duca, and they sent him off right in front of us in 5 minutes. It took 5 minutes to do that deal. And so, I mean, I guess from my perspective, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but I can't see the difference between that and the
way
it is
now. This is why Victoria Beckman needs to be on the show more often, because she is a lawyer. And she's smarter than all of us put together.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Vic.
But trading contract rights is entirely different than you know, making a back with no compensation, changing hands, just saying, hey, don't sign this guy because screw that guy.
Or when they say draft this guy in the or when they say draft this guy in the expansion draft, and then we'll immediately trade for him.
Yeah.
I think
there's one other problem we haven't accounted for.
What's that?
Bears. The draft.
Yeah.
The draft actually. By having a draft, that goes against free agency.
It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't in the American sense of it, because every other league
true sense of the word, it does.
Yeah, but every other league in the U.S. has a draft.
But when you talk about the NFL, you're still talking about 32 different businesses.
Right.
Yeah, there may be revenue sharing, but not in its entirety.
The NFL teams, at the very least, have autonomy in the sense that you know they can talk to each other without the NFL having to intervene in absolutely everything that they say to each
because
other.
Because they
the
aren't
way that
the
MLS
NFL
does.
In the way that
right.
they...
They're not the NFL. No, I'm not.
There are 32 businesses on the NFL board. There's one business.
And as someone that has studied law and has a law degree, Morgan's actually right. The problem we've got in MLS is that it's one business with 20 different divisions.
Yeah.
Wait, did you have to wear the powdered wigs?
Thank you, Chris.
Sorry?
Did you have to wear the powdered wigs?
Me? No, just on my ass.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
because it's Australia.
Yeah,
it's upside down.
You just
down.
Had to powder your ass because it's yeah. Australia. That makes sense.
Yeah, but the issue that we have in MLS is that it's one business with 20 different divisions. That's the way they've structured it. So MLS, so a judge would have to dictate the breakup of MLS fundamentally.
But I guess
are we looking at AT&T situation?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
It might take that for the single entity system in
Ohio.
MLS to go away.
Well, Ohio think, Bell yeah, FC.
Single entity as
Justin
as we
love
know
that.
It. Single entity as we know it, I think if they really push this, will end. But I don't think they're going to push it as far as
I don't think they'll be able to push it as far as they want to.
I think they're able to. I don't think they are willing to deal with the consequences.
It'll be interesting to see how far they do.
Give it another World Cup cycle, man.
Yeah, that's I think what they're going to get. If I had to guess right now, and it is just a guess because nobody knows what the heck is going on. There's been very little talk about how the negotiations are going. But if I were going to guess, I would say.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I think we just lost Chris.
Whoop. Did a robot dog just get stepped on?
Something happened. Anyway.
Yeah, you lost me for a bit.
Oh, now we get you back and you're super loud. we'll fix that in just a second. Finish your point, Alex, and then we're going to go to break so we can fix the audio for Chris's side.
I guess my gut feel is that they're going to get some form of free agency where after a certain number of years, this like seniority free agency thing that they've talked about, after a certain number of years, you can pick your team if you kind of renew your contract with the league. I would like to see them push it all the way, but they're not. It's way too complicated. But I think the next CBA will be the one where they end up getting the full thing. I think that single entity as we know it in MLS is kind of it's got a target on its back, and people are really aiming hard at it. And I think it's a matter of time.
That's fair. All right, we're going to take a break so we can fix the audio issues with Chris, and we'll be back in just a second to talk a little more Single Entity, and then talk some Supporters Summit. It's coming up in a bit. It's the Massive Report. Segment three of the Massive Report. My name is Matt Goschert. Chris Edwards bidding us a fond adieu because apparently he had to go kill a live chicken for breakfast. I don't know. Is that something you do in Shenzhen? I'm not 100%.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that was...
It sounded a lot like Super Mario was going on in the background, so if he needed to go off and play Super Mario, I won't judge him for it.
It's a great game.
It is. It's a great game. It is a very good game. The Massive Report brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. Live at Hendox. Just want to make sure we get that sponsor tag in there.
Cha-ching.
Exactly. So, also, hopefully next week we're going to have some really, really cool items to plug. First of all, if you still want a Massive Report tote bag or shirt, we have a few extras of those.
Matt, let me tell you what. I've been using that Massive Report tote bag all week, and I've been toting so much stuff around the city of Columbus. It's great. Back to you, Matt.
Totes. But we do have... one of our other sponsors, Massive City FFC, going to be putting out some incredibly cool stuff.
Matt, let me tell you what. I've been wearing some incredibly cool Massive City FFF stuff all
Future Farmers of Franklinton.
All week, Matt. And let me tell you one more thing. Back to you.
So going back to the conversation that we were having, especially about the CBA, I wanted to kind of get into this because you guys started to talk, and this is why we have Chris Landis on the segment here. You guys were starting to talk during the break about this, and I wanted you to zip it until we got on the air because I thought it was an interesting conversation to have. Morgan, you had a point, and I'm going to frame this, and you can kind of make your own point because I don't want to paraphrase you when you're sitting right here.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
About the fact that, you know, people talk about MLS being single entity, and people talk about if it's not single entity anymore, the stronger clubs are not protecting, I would say, the weaker clubs, and it's a bit more free market, and I want you to kind of riff on that for a second, and then we'll bring Chris in, and he can talk as well.
Well, I think my larger point was, you know, you can say the term single entity 100 times and still not really understand what the concept means. It's important to understand that when we say single entity, it means that Major League Soccer is a business. The Columbus Crew is but one... What's the word I'm looking for here? It's
division. Like a department.
Yes, it's the division. So if you look up the rules, if you're an Ohio State student, to your winter quarter broom ball intramural league, you are pretty much looking at MLS policy here. We're talking about that that dorm versus that dorm, this floor versus this floor. You can get as hyper-competitive as you want, but we're still talking about Ohio State intramurals here. That's Major League Soccer. Now, my great friend, Chris Landis, friend of the show.
Sitting next to you.
Also sitting here, touching my leg. Chris, stop that.
Morgan, you're a pretty man. Can you blame him?
That's false, and you're drunk.
And you have a girl's name.
Yeah.
Tinder night this fall.
Please tell me that's not going to be a thing.
Shoot me. You know, that one thing I hear all the time, and I'm not inventing a straw man, you know, example here. People say, well, you know, if you know, it's individual businesses, one of them might go under. And my argument would be businesses go under all the time. When businesses suck, they go out of business.
Chris, I want to bring you in on this because you were having – it was a very interesting discussion, and I think you both have valid points. Yeah. And we're definitely not bringing you on to beat you up.
No,
but I think this is a point that a lot of our listeners have as well. So I want you to kind of explain your thought process on it, and then we'll riff on that for a little bit.
Yeah, the question I had wasn't so much what if one business goes under. You know, yeah, I don't think any of us are going to shed any tears if Toronto go under because they're, you know, idiots. the question is MLS as a league sustainable if single entity is no longer the thing? I mean, you know, there have been two or three big-time soccer leagues in the history of American soccer going all the way back to the early 1900s that have had big boom periods. You know, people underestimate just how big a lot of the teams on the East Coast were in the 19-teens and 1920s. All those leagues have ceased to be a thing, and, you know, the question is this the right time for single entity to go away? Because, you know, can this league survive that at this time? That was my question.
The thing that I think is different about our league as opposed to NASL or previous American leagues, we live in a much more international world. We live in a much more connected world. You have millions of Americans who are following international soccer around the world. There is a fan base here that did not exist in NASL or in previous leagues. And so the amount of financial power that you have for people who will stick through a team no matter what, whether they have, you know, the problem that NASL had was they were competing with each other to try to bring in big name players, because big name players were what people were showing up for. They were showing up to see Pele, they were showing up to see Canalia, they were showing up to see Beckenbauer or whoever. Now you have people who are showing up to see guys like Steve Clark, guys like Will Trapp. And so I think the paradigm has shifted a little bit, and that we have a true fan base that knows that they are supporting their local team. They're not there to see a spectacle. They're there to see the sport. And I think it'll survive, you know, it could survive that kind
of thing. Regardless of whether the variables have changed or not, if MLS goes under, then MLS goes under.
Yeah.
And could MLS fail? Yeah, absolutely. I would rather have a single business. Like, Toronto FC is a great example of a theoretical business at this time that has made just terrible decisions and is in this bullshit entity that allows it to continue to make these terrible decisions and be rewarded for it just based on purely market size.
Toronto FC, you're saying, is the Chase Bank of Major League Soccer.
Toronto FC is a lot of things in Major League Soccer.
Okay, well, more than Goldman Sachs, but, I guess. I guess, is that better?
If MLS goes under, that sucks, man. You know?
Like, yeah.
If the crew have to go away for a minute, that sucks, man. But I'm not willing to sacrifice the happiness and the well-being of employees, you know, so that I can go see this bullshit intramural squad thing on Saturdays with my friends and drink beer. That's absurd.
I want to make two quick points, and then we'll get to you, Greg.
Sure.
First of all, as I keep stepping on Chris's toe, and I apologize, that's completely
get your communist toe out of here.
Completely unintentional and hilarious double meaning there. The two things you brought up, one point earlier, and before that gets lost, I wanted to touch on that is the soccer and some of the clubs on the East Coast in the early part of the century had a boom period. And boom period could be relative, but there were very successful clubs at that point in some of those cities. Mm-hmm. The problem is, especially when you look at the United States, is there's only one sport that really survived and thrived through the Great Depression, and that was baseball. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you look at the NHL. The NHL didn't have major expansion past the original six teams, and there were other teams before that that got lost in that shuffle, but until the middle of the century, before they even expanded past six teams. You look at the NFL.
1967.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't remember the specific year, but not, yeah, 1967. You look at the NBA, even the founders, the teams that became the original NBA didn't happen until right after World War II. Mm-hmm. You look at the NFL, it's the same thing. You had some professional competitive teams that were organized in the Ohio League and things along those lines, but that was also after the Great Depression. And so I get your point that was the case, but even you can't even necessarily say, because we obviously don't know. I'm pretty sure the record books for Bethlehem Steel in, you know, the beginning of the beginning of the century probably, or the not the record books, but the tax books or tax filings or whatever. The financial records. Thank you. I don't know. I haven't even been drinking that much tonight, and apparently I just can't talk anymore. But that information, you know, whether or not that's there, I think that probably was a much larger force as to what that downturn was. And then you look at NASL. NASL was kind of its own beast as well. And NASL had some boom periods and it had some successes, but it also had a lot of failures. And I think that that's one of those things where you look at that as well. You look at something like the Columbus Crew and the situation that we have right now, and people talk about, you know, well, the Columbus Crew are going to be one of the have-nots in a situation if we go from single entity to individual ownership. And I just don't think that's true. You can have the discussion. I think Mark McCullers even said it. Some of the people from Hunt Sports Group said it at one point that the Columbus Crew doesn't make money. The argument the Columbus Crew doesn't make money is a weird kind of red herring argument, in my opinion, because you have the sweetest stadium deal in the entire league in the Columbus Crew, and that is the fact that you own the stadium. Mm-hmm. It is completely paid off. You're leasing the stadium to yourself, and the only lease that you have to pay is the land rights to the fairgrounds, which you have locked in with the state of Ohio for the enormous sum for the next 100 years of, does anybody know besides Morgan? Because we talked about this. Do you know how much the Columbus Crew pay to the state of Ohio every year for the next 100 years in order to get that sweet piece of land?
Tell us, Matt.
$1.
$1.
$1. That is your entire expense.
Wow.
With the exception of powering the stadium and making sure the heat's on. And paying the taxes on the stadium.
Which
and
is
making,
absurd,
and making
it's
sure
an outdoor
stadium.
And making sure the scoreboard doesn't catch fire
then,
again,
well,
by
that's
the way.
Fireproofing Let's the scoreboard.
Fireproofing the scoreboard.
That costs
an extra expense.
But compare that to something where, for example, Toyota Park is owned by the city of Bridgeview. City of Bridgeview is underwater on that stadium, and you're paying, if you're the Chicago Fire, an absurd amount of rent to the city of Bridgeview. You're not getting 100% of your concession revenues. You're not getting 100% of your merchandise revenues. You're not getting any revenue if they book a concert there. What is the Columbus Crew's number one cash cow every single year?
Rock on the Range.
Rock on the friggin' Range.
Crew Cat.
Also Crew Cat. Those are the two things. But you look at that. And, yeah. And I've seriously wanted to, and I've made jokes about this on this podcast before, going out to Rock on the Range and holding giant signs that say, hey, guys, buy a couple more beers. We need a new striker. because, and I mean that in the most sincere way possible. Yeah. If you're planning on going to Rock on the Range, please drink yourself silly and eat as many White Castle sliders as you'd like. I'd appreciate it.
Well, going back to the point about whether or not this free agency stuff would end MLS.
Yeah, yeah.
NASL ended or something like that. I think the thing that would bring up a discussion like that more so than free agency would be if they removed the salary cap. Because what happened in NASL is you had the individual players were earning a lot of money and the wage bills for these teams were going up and up and up. And the smaller teams were having to overpay to try to keep pace with these other teams.
Right.
And it became an arms race where the spending got way out of control and teams were spending themselves deep into debt. I think if you have a cap and you have free agency, the overall amount of money that you're spending doesn't go up anymore. The amount that you're paying individual players might. You might have, you know, some players who are earning much more than they would in a non-free agency sense. But I think
but realistically,
overall,
the amount
is going to stay the same.
Realistically, we don't even have a salary cap in MLS.
Right.
Realistically. Because
you don't have a hard cap.
Chris, you put it exactly perfectly. It's not a salary cap because of the nature of single entity, because
right.
of the way that MLS operates as one company with 20 different departments. It's not a salary cap. It's a budget.
I don't remember who exactly it was, if it was Wall or Strauss or one of the soccer writers online just did a big story about this, how the different teams all have different budgets, too. It's not a flat thing. It's all relative. So,
well,
you know.
you have some players who are not on budget, and you have some guys who are designated players, and they're off budget as well. But there is a salary cap for the players who are within this 20.
But
I think
each team
it's 23.
Has a different one.
But I understand the salary cap for the East Coast Hockey League better than I understand the salary cap for Major League Soccer.
And here's the fun part: part of that salary cap can be bought down with Garber bucks.
Yeah,
and you're never told how much it is or what it's for. The Columbus Crew have received allocation money from. We don't care for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
which is why we say that every
picking
team
picking up
is,
Starbucks for Don before the league meeting. Yeah.
Which is why we say that every team is different. It's not that every team is different. It's just everything is so arbitrary, and some teams have credits to their name,
well, dude,
and some teams
dude,
have
the sales.
You know,
the
it,
sales
it's like
division.
Free play at an arcade. What the hell?
Okay, the Seattle's and Toronto's of the world are the sales division of MLS. They're going to get more money than the warehouse division.
They're your moneymakers.
You know, that's your crew, your Rapids. You know, you're not going to get. You're going to get some tape, right, to box up your product in the warehouse, but it's not going to be the sweet tape. It's not going to be the tape that actually works. It's going to be crappy tape. You know, that all of that money goes to the sales department so they can make sales. This is a sales-based business here.
Yep.
Seattle's are the sales. Toronto's are the sales.
And by Alex, you talked about NASL. By the time that NASL finished, it was essentially a one-team league.
Yeah.
The New York Cosmos.
Yeah.
The New York Cosmos, yes.
Right. Because you need to cap that somewhere because, you know, this is not the preeminent sport in the United States like it is in the rest of the world.
I don't think anybody here is arguing that we should get rid of the salary cap
in
MLS.
No.
I don't even think anybody's arguing.
No,
that we
we're
go
talking about that as a danger of could kill MLS the way that what could kill a number one soccer league in North America the way that NASL went by the wayside, the way that other leagues went by the wayside.
You're playing right into the owner's conversation here if you look at it from that. A lot of things can kill a business. They use fear as a tactic to make you not want something that's good because they go, look what happened in 1987. Something died. Well, businesses die all the time. It doesn't mean you should not try to get better.
The thing that we have now that we didn't have back in the 70s when NASL was a thing was we have... You know, Alex, you brought this up about being a more connected population, about being more in touch with world soccer, about in touch with soccer in general as a sport. We have soccer cities now, the way that we didn't have soccer cities in the 70s and 80s. We have soccer markets like, you know, we call Columbus a soccer town. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily sell out Crew Stadium all the time, but there is a very vocal, very passionate, very involved and proactive fan base here.
Columbus is a national team town that's starting to come around to the Crew.
Right.
I'm gonna say that.
Some people
might not like
that's
that.
That's a good way of putting it.
I'll get some heat.
No,
Steve Abreu is gonna be pissed off at me tomorrow on Twitter because of this.
Steve Abreu is pissed off at everything for everyone.
Steve Abreu is always angry at me on the internet, never angry at me in person. But I love you, Steve.
Hi, Steve. I still like Bobby Garcia.
But you look at it. You look at the television ratings for the national team. You look at the television ratings anytime international soccer is on, in the United States is doing anything, and Columbus is always a top five, top ten market. Mm-hmm. And so there is definitely interest in Columbus. What the problem is that you have a group of people that have been poor custodians of the club team up until the team was purchased just recently. And I'm not blaming one specific person, but I can definitely I don't think anybody here will disagree that HUD Sports Group was a poor custodian after Lamar died for the Columbus Crew.
Couldn't agree more.
And so the problem is that HUD Sports Group did not do well to re-image the Crew into something that casual people on a day-to-day basis, and it gets back, Chris, to the article that you're writing, the series of articles that you're writing about this, it gets back to that point.
Yeah.
And you look at what's going on now, and I posted this almost – it was a true statement, but I posted it kind of just as a laugh online earlier today on my Facebook, that I had today at 3 o'clock seen five strangers that I didn't know wearing some sort of Crew gear and zero people wearing Ohio State gear. And that was just randomly going around town doing sales. I had to stop by somebody's business today and just drop off a sample for my work. And the dude who answered the door was wearing a Crew shirt, was wearing one of the new ones. And it just kind of compounded from there. And at 3 o'clock, I saw some dude jogging, and he was wearing an old, probably, I would say, mid-2000s warm-up top when he was jogging. And it was just one of those things that it just kind of clicked, and I'm like, more people are, you know, it just seems like more people are passively interested than they were 365 days ago.
I agree completely, because the funniest thing happened to me, I'm glad you brought this up, because I wanted to mention this little personal anecdote. Guy comes into my work on Saturday. And
you can plug them.
Wearing,
I like them. They're nice people.
I work down at Arbar in the Arena District. Yep. And a guy comes in on Saturday night and is wearing a brand new Crew SC track jacket kind of thing. And I'm studying this guy's face for the longest time because I'm absolutely convinced that the only reason that anybody is in my personal space wearing Crew merchandise is because I know him somehow.
Yeah.
Do I follow him on Twitter? Have I seen him in the Nordic? You know,
did you make out with him behind the bar one
something
night?
Like that.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, we agreed not to talk about that.
Oh, sorry.
But no, it's something like somehow do I know this guy? Is he employed by the team somehow? Is this a player like a Generation Adidas guy who I don't recognize or whatever? You know.
And then you realized it was Clint Dempsey, and he cut an early flight back from L.A.
Right.
I finally
went up to him and I said, "Do I know you from somewhere?" And I'm like, I asked him if he listens to Massive Report, and it turned out he did. Casually and sort of recognize, you know, my voice once I started talking. I'm like, yeah, I'm Greg Benson. I'm on the
I don't
on the
know if you know
report.
Me, guys. I'm Greg Benson, and
yeah, I'm
kind of a
Massive
big deal.
Report.
I'm kind
of, right, it
first
was.
Time
it
I
was
met
kind
Greg,
of a big
I was
deal.
Like, you're the Australian guy, right?
Australian guy from the Massive Report, yeah. No, but it turned out that we had never met before at all, and he was just a guy who happened to pick up the jacket because, you know, he had a fleeting interest in the Crew.
Yeah.
And no, I thought it was fantastic. I'm like, that's great. I'm glad I don't know you. I'm glad that you're no. I'm. You understand what I'm saying, though. You understand the context. That I'm glad that you're just somebody who happens to have, you know, taken an interest in the Crew rather than just be part of the crowd that we already know, that we already hang out with.
But I think what that shows is that the league is growing in a way that it mm-hmm. didn't grow in past iterations of soccer in the United States. I think that what we're seeing here is you know, the birth of the sport, like the first real true birth of the sport in this country. And MLS might not be the final version of this. MLS is probably going to change a lot. It might go away. Who knows? But I think the sport is here to stay in the country. And I think when you look at the league overall, when they talk about, oh, this would destroy the league, the only way it would destroy the league is if the league was destroyed by a court. On some sort of legal grounds over collusion. But from a financial standpoint, no matter how much the Crew say that they're losing money, no matter how much the league says that they're losing money, and to be
well,
fair,
the Crew doesn't say they're losing money anymore.
Yeah, I was just saying, I was just bringing it up because we talked about it before.
I just want to make sure that I want to make sure, because I don't think I phrased that correctly or phrased that in the best possible way either. I've never once heard, and I might be wrong, but I've never once heard Anthony Precourt or anyone from Precourt Sports Ventures saying that the Crew is losing money.
Well, and PSV,
maybe because they know that's not how to run a soccer franchise anymore.
Yeah, no,
I think that was a McCullers only thing, where it's like, hey, we suck. We're losing money and we suck.
Well,
so.
it was also kind of awkward when I get off on the Hudson Street exit and Mark would be out there hawking tickets next to the guy with the really good voice.
Well, I thought that was really, really awkward.
When we were at the rebrand, they came on stage and they had a laundry list of things that they were saying, you know, look, we have more, I forget what it was, executive boxes sold, we have more, you know, group sales of all time, you know. They're breaking sales records and
well, you know why that is.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
Clark Beekham and Phil Goldfarb.
Well,
there's
obviously
a reason that Sorcerer Pipa only follows Clark Beekham on Twitter.
I'd like to bring up the point that Phil Goldfarb's official nickname is Pickles.
I'm sorry, Pickles. Phil Pickles Goldfarb.
Pickles Goldfarb.
Can we get Sorcerer Pipa to follow Phil Goldfarb as the second follow? Can we make that happen?
You should tweet at him. Because that's the only way I know how to get a hold of Sorcerer Pipa.
Clark Beacom's official nickname is Fancy Feet.
Yes, Fancy Feet.
So Fancy Feet and Pickles.
Fancy Feet and Pickles are doing a hell of a job.
It's like a crime drama.
And I'm sure they love those nicknames.
Oh, they do. They do.
Yeah.
And we need to get Erica Kress a nickname, too.
Her nickname is A.K. Rowdy.
A.K. Rowdy.
Okay. A.K. Rowdy. I love it.
I love this. This works. But, no, it's the point that I was trying to make there and also kind of be a little funny about it. But, you know, Precourt Sports Ventures seems to know
a bit more of what they're doing in this sort of environment than HSG did after Lamar. Everything that I say HSG wise is post Lamar, because I think that he got it and he was much more hands on with the soccer properties. And I think after that it was just kind of like, oh, we have these soccer teams. How soon till we can sell them and I can just go to more Chiefs games?
Well, the thing about Anthony Precourt is that he's come from a business position rather than a sports ownership position, and he's applied. Look, you know, the guy's made his money the way that he's made his money, and he's applied that knowledge to He's applied that knowledge to, you know, running the crew as a business rather than having some kind of predisposed, passionate sports mindset when he came into it.
Now, Anthony Precourt's made his money in energy. Do we know what kind of energy? Like kinetic?
I assume he just hooked Frankie Hadick up to a treadmill and has him run all day now.
So Anthony Precourt makes all his money in entropy is what you're saying.
I think it was oil. But
I probably was. I know it was something oil plus like some other stuff as well. Yeah. It was just to set that up. That was really the only reason I asked. That's really the only reason I asked that question. Okay, last thing we want to touch on tonight. And then we're going to mercifully put this thing to bed. The Supporters Summit is coming up on Wednesday. I, unfortunately, am
this
not going to be able to attend. It's this Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
2 days from now?
It's 2 days from now.
I had no idea.
Or one
Wednesday,
day from now
Wednesday,
when you listen to
Wednesday.
This.
Yeah,
RSVP'd and forgot it.
Well, here's the problem is the Blue Jackets game doesn't end for another 7.5 minutes. Sam Fahmy.
Some might argue that the Jackets game was over before it started, Matt.
The LA fans would definitely argue that right now. Blue Jackets losing 4-2 for anyone who's listening to this in a time machine. No, we didn't, because we're not actually offering any unauthorized representation of the game. We're just reporting on the game, which is totally legal. Also, we did an entire after hours where we did a period of Blue Jackets play-by-play one time.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Anyway, so the Supporters Summit is coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be the first Supporters Summit that I have to miss. I have a work thing, but... what do you guys think for the people who are going to be there? I want to put this out to the whole table. What do you guys think is going to happen? No Petke out chance or Petke back in chance?
We should chant Petke out just to see what happens.
That would be pretty funny.
That would be.
Can I just be the one guy from the Red Bulls one who just yells?
I'm just going to stand up and be like, why would you
come? I can't wait to see
I always thought it was funny that when that whole Red Bull news conference with the fans was happening, they were like, a lot of people are paying attention to this. I think a lot of clubs might start doing this every year. I'm like, oh, come on now.
Oh, that's adorable.
That's cute.
That's adorable.
You tiny
yeah.
babies. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh.
I seriously think they've had some form of Supporters Summit every year I've been in Columbus.
Yeah, well, this year's Supporters Summit, I'm kind of leading it so I can tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, please do.
It's going to be a lot like the other years, with the exception of there's different things to talk about because it's this year, not last year, Greg. You total idiot.
Yeah.
Oh. We're going to talk. You're going to hear from the leaders of every supporters group. They're going to tell you about what's happening this year in their neck of the woods, what they're going to be doing, what you can expect from them. We're going to hear about hashtag drop it twice.
Yeah. Oh, good.
That's
good.
Finally going to be explained to everybody. We're going to talk about social things like Nor on Tour and TiVo Sweat, and then it's the big talking point is going to be finally establishing what we've been talking about for years in the supporters committee, where we and I'll detail it in great detail on Wednesday, but I think that we're getting to a point now where we're finally going to give everybody who wants to make a difference and make some really cool stuff happen an avenue to do that within crew supporters.
Morgan, I think this is all great. I think you're bringing a lot of good points out
I think you're stupid.
But honestly, the people like me, inquiring journalists, only want to know one thing, because a lot of us have to save up. How much is the homage tax going to be this year?
Matt, you ignorant slut.
And this has been the Massive Report podcast. I'll talk to you guys next week.
I'm so glad that after last week's meeting, we've taken a much more serious look at the way we do Massive
Report.
Oh my God!
No,
my
I know. I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek.
I said, first of all, we were still going to make jokes after our meeting last week.
Well,
and that was a damn good joke.
Let me pull my tongue out of my cheek from what I said.
Yeah, I'm not joking. Yeah. I'm seriously concerned about how much money I'm going to have to just give to them.
So, after all that is talked about on Wednesday, we're going to, you know, open the floor up for questions and comments and observation. And once we're done talking amongst ourselves, Lambeau and Berhalter and, some other coach is going to get up and they're going to, Not Duncan Otten.
Oh, we forgot. We need to say congratulations to Duncan Otten, by the way.
Well, I didn't forget that.
Because his special lady friend had their daughter this morning.
He just gave birth, yeah.
Yes, so congratulations to Duncan. And
we know you're listening, Duncan.
Horrible that donator to our Kickstarter.
Friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yes, and I feel horrible about the fact it took me this long to remember that. But adorable child, and congratulations. And I'm so glad that you are back in the United States.
Thank you.
For her to have that baby, so that it was not a Canadian citizen.
Congratulations on the birth of your kiwi fruit.
Hi-yo.
Yes.
It
might have been a bit more expensive, but honestly, in the long run, it's less than the shame of having your child be part Canadian.
To put a bow on the supporter summit discussion,
yes.
This is going to be a good thing, and I seriously invite everybody can come. It doesn't matter if you're in the Nordecker or not. This is open to everyone. Please come. Please be a part of the discussion. We have a really good thing going that's only getting better here, and it can only work if everybody is working together. And that's going to be the theme this year and going forward, and it's going to be great. So come on down, have a couple drinks, and punch Matt Goshard in the face.
I'm not going to be there.
He's not going to be there.
You'll be there.
There'll be a cardboard cutout of Matt Goshard that you can punch in the face.
I have to go sell a bunch of track jackets to people. It's going to be fantastic.
I'll just punch him ahead of time.
That's fair. All right, guys. So do you guys have anything to say about the Supporters Summit, or did Morgan just kind of wrap that up with a nice little bow on it?
I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. Should
You're
be fun.
Leading the witness, Matt.
I will be there. Come down and shake our hands.
Cool. Greg's going to be there, so you should ask when we're deporting all the Australians from our supporters section.
If you see a 6'6" Australian criminal from the Island of Criminals... Shake his hand, because he's going to prison soon, because he's from a colony of prisoners.
Also, apparently, if you see someone who's 6'6", I'm wearing platform shoes. I'm tall, but I'm not that tall.
You've just given away your dress for that night. Great job.
Big show! Gonna be
this
a big
show!
Okay, yes. We're done.
Yeah, that's...
For everybody who was on the show tonight, for Chris Landis coming on, being a good sport, and enjoying having him on his first podcast, thanks for coming out. For Chris Edwards, who's in China right now, probably being interrogated by secret police as to why he was talking to America so long. For Molly Thomas, who did an awesome job pushing buttons and showing me pictures of new Bailey WWE t-shirts while I was trying to make a point on the show.
We almost made it through a whole podcast with no wrestling.
Love ya, hon. Love ya, hon. For Morgan Hughes, for Alex Stanek, for Greg Benson, my name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. There's only one boss, the customer, and he can fire everybody in the company from the chairman on down simply by spending his money somewhere else.